Check, check, check one, check two. Sibilance, sibilance, sibilance.
Check, 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 check. I don't know.
Make it a mic check, check.
Make it a mic check, chickadee, check, chickadee, check, check, check.
Now, why are we doing this? Check, question mark?
Question mark. Why are we doing this? Because we are testing out some new, borrowed,
used,
awesome,
scratched, really beat up,
amazing mics.
Yeah, great mics. Yeah.
Fantastic mics.
That we can afford.
Like this one mic that I'm using, the Shure one. Did you read that article I sent you? That
was
the microphone that they used to record Michael Jackson's vocals on Thriller.
Yeah. And you do sound just like Michael Jackson. I don't want to
tell
you. See, there we go. There we go.
It's right there.
And the magic is already happening. I do not have Michael Jackson's mic. I have a big silver... It's phallic looking, I'm not going to lie, but whatever. It's a neat mic, so...
It is. Brian looks like he's the host of an old-time, you know, radio show.
I am.
You are.
Caller, go ahead. Anyway, it is June. It is June 4th. It is episode 14 of Tech Bacon. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome. I'm Scott.
I'm Brian. Interesting this week. A lot of news going on. Big news coming up next week.
But
a lot of, you know, kind of things came up this last week we had to talk about, starting with Windows 8. Microsoft previewed some stuff with Windows 8.
Yeah, Windows 8, you know, this is the first time anybody has really seen anything about Windows 8. I mean, it's been talked about, and it's also, it doesn't seem like it's actually what they're calling it. They said this is the working name is Windows 8. So I have a feeling it's going to be, and I don't know why they would, because Windows 7 was a really smart name. You know, it was simple and people responded to that like the Windows Vista thing didn't really work. So apparently Windows 8 may not be the name of this when it comes out.
Well, it was funny. Last week, Steve Ballmer, their CEO, he called it Windows 8. And he said, it's Windows 8 and it's going to be coming out XYZ. And then after he was done, they said, okay, it's not really called
working
Windows 8.
And that's
what's going to come out maybe next year. We're not going to give any time frame, really.
Right, yeah.
He said, I think, last year. He did say an actual...
Day.
Yeah, it's 2012, but it was like a fourth quarter, I think, 2012. But they said, right. No, that's not the name and that's not the date necessarily.
Right.
But this last week they demoed it and it really, really interesting.
It's a very big departure from traditional Windows.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's when I first saw it, I thought, oh, this is just like an overlay of Windows 7. But when I watched it back again, I realized it's actually... That's not what it is. I mean, the default OS scheme is completely different. It's very similar to what they've done with Windows Phone 7.
Mm-hmm.
You know, out there, it's got the, when you log in, the home screen has these tiles. And so, you know, it's all touch centric and it's completely the way applications are written is completely redesigned. So any new applications that have to be rewritten basically for this OS. I mean, it's a huge department. It's as big as when they went from Windows 3 to Windows 95.
Right.
Like, it's that different. It's that drastic of a change, which is very surprising.
Well, and one thing, too, that they haven't really given any details on yet, but supposedly it's going to run both on, you know, Intel chips like it does now and also ARM architecture, which are, you know, like low power, you know, for mobile devices.
One thing I read about that, actually, and it said that... The new interface and whatever will run on Intel and ARM.
Mm-hmm.
Within this new interface, you can access legacy apps, you know, like old versions of Word and Excel and all that stuff. But on the ARM-based machines, you will not be able to access
that. Right, because
So the new one will work on both.
Rewrite and recompile, yeah.
Right. The new stuff will work on both and the new interface, but the old stuff will not work on the ARM-based machines.
And that kind of ties into the first question I have about their strategy here, because Windows and Microsoft's in a very unique position where they have always – their strength has come for their support of their legacy, you know, products. Basically, you get, you know, Windows 7, it runs all the Windows, you know, Vista, and it runs all the Windows, you know, XP stuff. And that's kind of like – because they're like in business, you know, they're so big in the enterprise, they need that kind of situation. So I understand why they're doing, you know, even though they're doing a complete, like, you know, from ground up rewrite and rethinking of the OS while they're doing that, it's also difficult because they're trying to walk a balancing game. They're trying to have it both ways. Basically, you're going to support your legacy stuff and we're going to go and move in this different direction, you know, with ARM chips, but those won't really work. It's going to be interesting to see how if people get confused, frustrated. Maybe they're openly admitting from the get-go that the mobile devices aren't really suited to traditional Windows apps. I don't know.
I think they kind of are.
Yeah.
You know, I read a really interesting article on Computer World. This guy, Mike Elgin, wrote a article about this, kind of describing what it was. Mm-hmm. And he related it to DOS and Windows 95 and mm-hmm. how Windows 95 was a shell that ran on top of DOS. And when you're, if you were in Windows 95, you know, you could, I mean, not Windows 95, sorry, originally Windows 3.
Right.
And still continued on all the way until XP, really, this whole concept. But you could run DOS programs in a DOS window, you know, within Windows. And so they're kind of doing a similar progression with this, where you'll be able to be in this new interface, and then if you need to open a legacy app, it opens up and it runs within like a Windows 7 desktop type deal. Very right. similar to, you said, very similar to...
Well, back in the day when OS X first came out, there was obviously, everybody had applications that ran in, you know, Mac OS 8, Mac OS 9, and you needed a way to go and run all those applications. You just couldn't leave them all behind just because you know, got a new computer, or because you know, decided to go and install OS, you know, OS X. So this thing called the classic environment, which basically ran OS 9 within OS 10. Right. Like, you would start it up and this little tiny window would pop up and it'd have the whole like login and your extensions and the whole thing. It was running, you know, it was basically like a virtual version of OS 9, you know, within the thing you were already using.
Right.
It was slow. There were problems with it. It wasn't the best solution. And the most frustrating right. thing, even if you took away the performance problems, was the interface paradigms, the way they worked. Not so drastic as what we're talking about here, but OS X was very, very different from OS 9. And like, once you got used to things like the dock and just like the way it worked, I mean, and the way the file system
was. It was just like a completely different operating system.
And it became very, very frustrating to kind of go back to the old stuff. Even if there's only one application, like, because there, you know, 3 years later, maybe you had one application you still had to go back to.
Yeah.
It became very annoying.
Yeah, it was.
You know?
It was. And it took a while. It took a while for people to really adopt OS X.
Yeah. The first version was kind of terrible too.
Yeah, but I mean, still, just, you know, as the apps had to come out, applications had to come out and work with it.
Because that's what really drives all this stuff, I think. It's, you can have the neatest OS, but unless there's applications that are taking advantage of this new thing you're trying to put forward,
right.
it essentially doesn't exist.
Right. So this the Windows 8, it looked really slick and fun, and it's all touch-based. So in this little preview, they said everything is designed with touch, and then it gets translated to mouse and keyboard. And they showed some of the mouse keyboard, so it seemed pretty seamless for what you would use, but the interface is designed for touch. How that makes sense on a desktop, I'm not sure.
Well, I think
there's going to be some new concepts of desktops on how they are.
Yeah. Here's what's interesting too, because obviously they're doing all the legacy stuff because they're so big in the enterprise. I don't see enterprise stepping
using
away,
this.
Going to touchscreen displays. They're too expensive. You know, I don't see enterprise right. going and, you know, rebuying their software. You know, I work at a company where they still run XP. You right. know, I mean, it's like 10 years old,
right.
and it is terrible. But, you know, but it's
and that's, I mean, I think that's why they have it, so you definitely can use a keyboard and mouse
right, but
without
I guess,
a hitch.
But I guess in terms of if they're going to go, I guess my question is, Microsoft is sitting here. They have, okay, this is their desktop legacy stuff. Okay, they want to move forward. And they also want to do this low-powered mobile stuff. I guess I question if the philosophy of that those are the same or should be the same is correct or not. I don't know.
Yeah,
That's the big question.
Yeah,
because the advantages of all the mobile devices that we've seen so far from, you know, from Apple and from Google and from, you know, and
now
from,
also, you know,
and from WebOS from Palm
right.
have been because they've been completely rethought from the ground up
exactly.
to just be that. And because there's no ties to legacy
right.
stuff, it encourages developers to go and develop within those, you know, parameters.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. And, you know, it was interesting. One of the things, and I don't know if I like it or not, and obviously it's going to be one of those where you have to actually use it to kind of know how you feel about it. But the multitasking that they have, they show a very cool way of multitasking where you snap in one image or one window while another one's running and you can go through it. But like, what about more powerful multitasking when I want to have four or five things running? How does that work in that interface? I couldn't visualize it really.
Well, it's interesting. There's a difference too between having seeing things at the same time and having things operate at the same time. Like when we think about
operating
multitasking
at the same time. Yeah.
Like when we think about, you know, multitasking, very often I will have three or four applications open, but I'm only looking at one. I'm basically treating it as a modal device, you know.
Right.
You know, whereas maybe it's doing stuff in the background. And so I guess in that sense, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, there or if it's just in a saved state somewhere.
That's
true. And I can instantly switch back to it.
And it's easily accessible. Yeah, that's true.
Because it's mostly about access for me, because ultimately we can only do one thing at a time. The other difference is like for a chat program or for Twitter or stuff
right.
like that, where I would only need a strip to show it, or I just need notifications to know to switch over
as
to
long,
it.
As long as, you're right. As long as there's somewhere where you can see it easily,
yeah.
I guess. It was cool on that Windows demo is, I guess if you swipe to the right, it brings up this little bar that can take you back to the start menu. It had favorites. It had a couple other things. It was conceptually, I really liked that little swipe bar that they showed to bring you back to your home screen, to
mm-hmm.
your start screen. So it's a bold move on Microsoft's part.
What's
and
really
I don't
nice.
Think anyone was expecting that.
It was just nice to go and see them think outside the box UI-wise.
Yeah.
You know, because
it's a big gamble.
It is a big gamble.
It's a big gamble.
And in a sense, and in a very real sense, so this is going to sound, you know, full of hyperbole, but in a real sense, it's like if this doesn't work, they are in serious long-term trouble because whatever they put forth as their next, they can't afford another Vista situation where they get out of commission for like 3 or 4 years. Like things are moving too rapidly right now.
Right.
Like they have to hope this catches. And if they're making the wrong bet in terms of like people want to use, you know, touch screens at the desktop versus like, you know, trackpads and keyboards or something else we haven't seen yet. They've kind of like, they're going all in.
Right. They're going all in. Yeah. And Who thought that would come from Microsoft?
Well, I think they have to. I think they have no other choice because if they don't do something dramatic, they're going to be left behind. They're already getting left behind. You know, I mean, who knows what's going to happen with Windows Mobile? I mean, I think it's a great, you know, operating system, but
Also, you know, I mean, this thing could change drastically over the next couple of years,
which we've seen many times. I mean, the version of Vista that was originally previewed 2 years out was amazing and far different than, you know, and I think what, like 60% of the features got cut, and this was a mess. And
it's, you know, but it's just a hint at their thought process.
Yeah.
Just kind of like, you know, a little tip to this is where our heads are. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, in general, that's a good thing.
Definitely.
So that's our little Microsoft bit for this week.
Yeah.
And more to come. And, you know,
yeah, it's going
to
be cool. Interesting. I think it was, they did say 2012, end of 2012. So it's going to be, you know,
I mean,
interesting
year
and a half.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a beta at the end of the fourth quarter this year or the beginning of the first quarter next year.
I think they have to be honest, because it's such a dramatic
and
shift.
And they do really big beta. So it,
and they need to get people
at least a
on
beta
board.
One.
Because here's the thing, too. If they don't go, I think the number one thing they have to do is basically take their most important applications, and by that I mean Office, and have them ready to go in a native touch version.
Well, you know what's interesting?
And they have to get to have it done early because they have to go and show developers, I think, the way in which they're thinking this is going to be used in a you know, desktop environment.
Yeah. I mean, it's I wonder if they're going to really – if they may start pushing towards their online –
365.
Office, like 365.
That got a launch date too.
It did?
Yesterday. I forget what it was. I think it's the next 3 or 4 months, but that got an official launch date. You know, Mary Jo Foley wrote about it.
Yeah, it's their, you know, their competition with Google Docs, which, on just a quick aside, Google Docs announced that from now on out, they're going to only be developing HTML5.
Yeah, and also, and they're cutting support for all, like, you know,
other
all
browsers.
Legacy browsers. Yeah, it's like basically
they're like, it won't stop working, but
for
it
full
will be
support,
very
it's like
limited.
You have to have the, like the last most recent or last most two most recent generations, which is fantastic.
Yeah,
anything that can go and help push, I mean, IE 6 and 7, basically, you know, like out the door as quick as possible is awesome.
Yeah, no, that was a pretty major announcement for them.
I think they weren't even supporting Firefox 3 anymore. Was it 4 only?
Yeah. Yeah, it had to have been because I don't think 3 didn't have. Yeah, it
had. I mean, it had support. Yeah, but in terms of like what the most recent specs are. Yeah,
yeah.
And that's what's really important too. It's like you need, and this goes back to the Flash conversation you have had before. But you need basically, you know, important services that people rely on pushing things in a certain direction. Otherwise, you know, people just don't get motivated to go and change things or adopt new technologies. They'll just kind of like sit back and hang back and use old stuff. So, you know, that goes from users to developers and, you know, and everything. So, I think it's a cool move that they're doing.
Yeah, I think it's cool. It's interesting. Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing about it is with the HTML, the functionality of Google Docs is dramatically better.
Right.
The drag and drop features. I mean, it just
Local storage. Yeah,
really
HTML5
changes
is,
how
you know,
it works. Yeah. It's
designed to basically
different.
Go and like let your browser be more of a you know, your computer can be more
and
of an active.
Obviously, they're
in
doing it for the Chrome stuff.
Of course.
You know, for the Chromebook and
of
the
course.
Chrome OS and all that.
Of course.
Junk. I was tempted to buy the Chromebook.
Yeah, did you end up not pulling the trigger?
I got, you know, because I have the Chrome.
You got the C95000.
Blah, blah, blah. I got a thing from Guilt Group offering me one of the first chances to buy one of the Chromebooks. But by the time I got on there, it was sold out. Which was interesting. But I think it was only targeted at people that would
did it only to the people in the pilot program. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I was kind of going to buy one and just sell it on eBay. Just try it out and then be like, okay, I don't need it anymore.
The Chrome nerds beat you to it.
I know. They totally beat me to
Bastards.
It. All right. Well.
Speaking of new OSs and that kind of stuff, this Monday, finally, is Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference.
Big deal.
Yeah. They very uncharacteristically announced, I think it was Monday, that number one, Steve Jobs was going to be there to, you know, give the keynote or part of the keynote,
right, which he's kind of been absent
Well, he's been on leave.
He's been on sick leave.
With an undetermined, length. I mean, he's been back. He did the whole, he did the press conference for AntennaGate for the iPhone last year. He did the one for the location stuff. He did an interview for that.
Right.
But nobody kind of knew what was going to happen with that. So for them to announce that, that made sense. And him announcing he was going to be there.
Yeah.
And his shares, I think, probably went up and everybody got excited.
Totally.
What was very strange, though, is they announced straight up that WWDC was going to be about specifically OS X Lion, which everybody kind of knew, iOS 5, which everybody knew, and iCloud.
Right.
And them announcing, or basically confirming the existence of a product before it's announced is very, very, very strange.
Very strange.
Yeah.
They never do this. Now, here's what it makes me think, and we'll talk a little bit more about this, but it makes me think that that ain't the big announcement.
Well, it makes me think two things. It makes me think they were setting expectations to not anticipate hardware because, they
That's
had leaked word
true.
About two or three months ago that there was not going to be a new iPhone,
yeah.
But rumors had kicked up the last 2 weeks that, there is going to be one. I think they wanted to tamp that down.
I think you're probably right on that.
But I think I agree with you in a certain point. I don't know if it's going to be new stuff. I mean,
it's going to be something.
I think what it is that everybody's been thinking about iCloud as a music locker service, i.e. just a version of what Google's doing,
right.
A version of what, the cloud player for Amazon is. I think it's going to be something very, very different and much more exciting. And they basically have put up, banners at Moscone.
Yeah, we posted one on our Facebook page I saw.
And it basically said had the logo for Lion, the logo for iOS 5, and the iCloud logo, plus this equals WWDC.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. A music locker service isn't that big a deal. It's
right.
Like, okay, it makes my iTunes neater. I don't care. If they're making it an integral part of the developer conference, then it's what we were talking about 2 weeks ago. This is going to be a much more full-featured offering with APIs developers can utilize.
And just going by the logo, that is just a cloud. It's not a cloud with a little music icon or anything.
No.
I mean, it's going to be way more full featured.
It looks like it's a mashup of the MobileMe cloud and the old iSync icon. Because that
You're
used
right.
to have like
that silver
thing.
The brush silver.
And it's basically one on
Very
top of the other.
Yeah, it totally looked like that.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. That's a good point.
So I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be more than just a music locker. I mean, reports have come out in the last couple of weeks that it's also going to be featuring movies and TV, or at least they want it to.
Right.
But I think what we kind of don't know yet is how much it's going to tie into the OS itself and what's going to be.
You know what I read, speaking of movies and TV, apparently one of the big hurdles for all these guys is HBO.
It's actually just one. It was only Time Warner because they're the only one that had the window.
But they actually have, but that's a big, didn't even cross my mind that they actually have an exclusive deal with HBO for a window of time for their movies.
Right.
And that includes the HBO Go online streaming and iPhone and Android app.
Right. Well, what Time Warner thought is that basically it's just for broadcast. They didn't think it applied to digital streaming. I guess that was the big question.
But
I think they had everybody on board except for them because of that HBO exclusive.
But I never
it was like a 60-day exclusive.
Yeah, but I never even
think.
Thought about that. And good for HBO. But bad for everybody else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, I kind of agree that I would agree that broadcast does not necessarily apply to digital because that's a question for the attorneys.
Right. Right. Yeah. Totally.
There's all going to be a lot.
There were a lot of rumors this week about this cloud music-based service. I mean, one of the biggest rumors was that at launch, this thing was not going to have the ability to play anything other than music you had bought in iTunes.
Right.
That's been the big rumor going around all week.
This week. If that is true, I'm a huge advocate of Apple products, as you know. If that happens, that is a complete and utter non-starter.
Right. I mean,
basically,
I wouldn't use it.
I mean, I have 60 gigs
of music.
If that was
the case, I would not use that.
Like, I buy a decent amount of music, digital music, through my phone. Therefore, it's through iTunes, right? But I have a 60 gig collection, and maybe 1 to 2 gigs tops, is on the bought through iTunes. There's no utility there.
No,
and it's a weird rumor. Part of me goes, okay, I can understand.
Do you know where it came, started from?
I think CNET, from a CNET article that Greg Sandoval wrote, and we'll put that in the show notes. I can see why that would want – maybe the record labels want that to happen, i.e. they don't want to go and encourage piracy or they don't want to encourage this, that, and the other. The problem is I don't really see Apple launching something that's not at feature parity with, Google and Amazon. It just makes no sense. Like if that's your offering, you're not ready to go.
Right.
So why do you even announce it? Because everybody's just going to turn against it. And this is one of these things, first impressions count. And especially after the MobileMe snafu where, they launched MobileMe however many years ago. And there was a great article about this where when MobileMe first launched, it was terrible. It didn't work. Everybody was very, very frustrated. Walt Mossberg, who writes very positive things about Apple in the press, usually trashed it. And Steve Jobs called a town hall meeting at Apple and basically said, and I wasn't there. This is from an article, but he said, okay, can someone tell me what MobileMe is supposed to do? And, waited for somebody to raise their hand and call them, and they said, okay, that can somebody tell me why the F it does not do that? Which is awesome. Which is awesome.
I don't remember that. That's really funny.
But because, I mean, if that's the way he feels about this, I don't see them launching something with that kind of crippled thing. It makes no sense. I mean, maybe there's something else to it. Maybe they're launching it anyway because of this other stuff we've been, you know, we're talking about or hinting at. But
well, that could be the thing, is that they felt like they needed to get out in front of this. And because they're making all these deals with the music labels, which has also been being reported all week, that all these
and the publishers
music,
now. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was a kind of, you know, something that was hanging that's finally started to come through the music publishers negotiations with all of this. But it may be that will be limiting them. Now, all this stuff is rumors. There's nothing confirmed. We don't know.
I mean, but if they don't come, the only way they can pull it off is that they basically say, like, you know, today or this week or, you know, the next 2 weeks when it launches, it's going to go and have, you know, streaming of iTunes stuff. And by September.
Right. If they have a hard date. Yeah. I think that's the, like, if they say that, that's a saving grace. Yeah. Obviously, if they don't say any of this and it's just like, it's all good, then great.
Yeah.
But
that's, I mean, if they do anything, but, you know, say like if
today,
everything
starting or, today, all the stuff in iTunes is available in a month from now, anything you could put.
And the one thing I don't know about the may have been, it's hard to know. The article was very, very brief. And I wrote to Greg on Twitter and didn't get a call, you know, anything back surprisingly. Right.
Yeah. Right.
The only other thing I could think is maybe that only applies to the scan and mirror functionality, where basically, you know, iTunes scans your library, mirrors that stuff in the cloud,
and then
you have to upload all your stuff that you didn't buy from iTunes.
Maybe.
But either way,
that would be an in between.
Yeah. But either way, if iCloud's Music Locker does not have all of your music up in there, however that happens, you know, mechanically.
If you can't get everything you have on your computer up to that cloud,
useless.
Then useless.
Yeah, totally
then it
useless.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And I really don't. Who knows? Stranger things have happened. Like I was surprised that AirPlay launched without being fully functional across, you know, Safari, but things happen for different reasons. But I think it'll be, I mean, I don't know if the service could recover if they do that.
Yeah.
We'll see, but I don't see how it could. I mean, I think, cause right now I use Amazon and I use Google, right? Neither one of them really, really works. I use Google now all the time cause it's a real player. Even has keyboard shortcuts. What a mind blower.
Yeah. I'm loving the Google player.
Yeah. But if there's not an offering for like that, with that kind of functionality, like I'm sorry, I'm just going to keep using Google Player.
Yeah. So on the WWDC front, because there's all these huge news announcements coming out on Monday morning.
Yes.
Instead of waiting a whole week, we are going to do a special episode.
Yeah, Tech Bacon special edition
on Monday night.
On Monday night, and I guess we're going to do.
Are we going to go live?
Oh, we'll go live.
Yeah, we'll go live.
We haven't talked about time. Do you want to do 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock.
Eight o'clock.
Your
legitimate phenomenon.
Yeah, fantastic.
I was just going to say 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock Pacific time, so East Coast, that'll be pretty late for you guys. But we didn't want to have to wait a whole week to talk about stuff that's just going to be talked about ad nauseum all week.
Yeah, because I think it's going to be. No matter what happens with the Music Locker, I think it's going to be crazy hotness. I think there's like going to be so much stuff coming Monday. I think we're going to be blown away.
I mean, I'm really, really curious to see the iOS 5 stuff. Nobody knows anything about this.
Well, like, and finally something broke this week. You know, basically three pieces of news. Basically, improved notifications.
Right. Well, they hired that guy.
Yeah, but that they hired
a while ago.
No, it was last month.
Oh, it was really recent. Yeah. Oh, okay.
They basically hired a developer who basically had developed an alternative notification system for jailbroken iPhones. I mean, a lot of people love this one in the community.
Did you see the demo of it online?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I checked
it's
it
great.
Out. Yeah, yeah. No, it's really, really nice, and everybody who'd used it really, really liked that that app. Second of all, news about Twitter integration broke earlier.
Right.
And at first it seemed like, okay, they're just going to be able to go and like send, you know, pictures. And I'm like, okay, that's neat. That's okay, but
whatever.
That's not a big thing. Then it was basically John Gruber, Robert Scoble, like a lot of different people start talking, no, it's not that. It's deep system level integration. And I'll be honest, there are so many things that could mean.
Well, here's what I feel it means. On Windows Phone, they have like a Twitter integration and I believe Facebook integration too, where like you sign into the account and then it's part of the OS basically.
Right.
It shows up in your contacts and all that stuff. I feel Apple might be going that way, OS side, Lion side, and iPhone side.
Like, I think you might be right.
Like, you know, right now when you have your iPhone and you can sign into your Google account
right
from the accounts area.
Correct.
I think there's going to be Twitter and maybe there's Facebook. And
well,
maybe
there was a build of OS 4 that leaked. I mean, this is
remember
a year
that?
And a half ago that had a Facebook section and preferences like
I remember that.
And I think you're right. I think that's what's exactly is going to be. And it's interesting. There's been all this noise recently with Twitter. They've changed the way that third-party developers could authorize clients and different apps to use Twitter. This would kind of like bypass that and allow you to go sign in on the OS level. And also, if it's an integrated service like that, if there are APIs involved, if developers can access it, then it becomes a lot easier to do a lot more interesting things with Twitter. And like maybe if this is their move into social, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. You know, on the PC side, Outlook 2010 has these things called social connectors.
Mm-hmm.
I think it fully launched for a couple of them, but some of them were still in beta. But you install it and sign in to, they have a LinkedIn one and a Facebook one. I don't think they have a Twitter one, but it integrates it into your Outlook. So when I'm looking at somebody I emailed or an email, I have a little bar on the bottom and it shows me their most recent Facebook post, and I can click a button and it comes up and it shows me all their Facebook posts, and I can respond.
Cool.
And has their, if I don't have a picture associated to them, it'll take their Facebook picture and put it in as their icon. I feel OS wise, that may be something that Apple's going to be doing, something similar. But not just within one application suite, across the whole board.
Right. Because you can do that now with, there's like the Facebook application allows you to do that content, you know, the contacts merging, I guess.
Right.
But I think it's interesting.
It is.
You know, there's a lot of possibilities, and it's one of those things that depends on how they execute it and what their vision for what that execution is going to mean is the big difference between like, you know, gimmick feature
right.
or something really, really transformative.
I think there's something to be said about the way they presented that banner that I posted, mm-hmm. the Lion plus
iOS 5
plus cloud. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes me think there's going to be a very streamlined service for all three of these things that they're going to really, really work together.
I think it's going to be...
It's not going to be these three separate things. I think these three separate things are the smaller pieces of a bigger whole.
Well, I think iCloud is going to be, I think we're going to see not necessarily a merging of the OSs, but a merging of how you use them and the data between them. And I think iCloud is going to be the platform that's going to go and connect everything. And it's going to be far beyond like, oh, I'm syncing my bookmarks. It's going to be fundamental, usage. I think it's going to be the difference between, you know, I don't need to use Dropbox and a bunch of third-party utilities to maintain two computers. I just use iCloud and it's all built in or, you know, things like that.
I mean, similar on a more full-featured OS level, similar to what Chrome is doing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Chrome is pretty limited, but that kind of functionality where it's like, if you're on Chrome here and you're on Chrome here and you're on Chrome here and you're on Chrome here, it's all the same thing.
Exactly. I think that's definitely where it, and I think that's where it needs to go, because as our devices become more ubiquitous, you know, it's, you want to have your identity, your digital identity, you know, going freeform throughout all these things without having to go and like change this and change that. If you go finish a game on one, you know, on your iPad, you want it to be this, you're going to be in the same place on your iPhone and vice versa. And all these things need to become like, you know, part of your central digital experience. And you and I talked a long time ago about the problem with current social sharing services and how it's like, well, I have Instagram here that I take my pictures and then I can do that. And then that will compose these other three things. And then I'll use like, you know, Go Wallet here to go to this other thing. But nothing's like kind of integrated as one thing. And I would wish they're all silos essentially, even though they may post or interact with the other. And I wish there was one way you could have like one central storage place, be it in an OS or, you know, a phone or a cloud service, something that all those other things could tie into.
Yeah.
And so I could be in control of all, you know, my data and all my sharing. And I would just decide where I wanted it to go.
Totally.
And I wonder if that's kind of what they're moving towards with this kind of thing.
Could be.
Because that notion of like, you know, your mobile, you know, social and digital identity, it makes a lot of sense with the kind of stuff, pieces they're putting into place at least.
Definitely. I agree. So I'm fascinated to see what comes. On Monday, we will talk about what actually got announced.
And one more piece of news that broke this last week. This broke last night. And this is about iOS 5.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody was on MacRumors reported it. And basically somebody, I guess, had been in iTunes looking about updating their software. And did you see this?
Uh-uh.
Oh, a single piece of text was at the disclaimer at the bottom. And it said like, oh, and it's like, oh, if you have automatic downloads, you know, enacted, this will go and, you know, upgrade your applications in the background. And the problem is there's no automatic downloads option in iOS currently.
Weird.
But there's been all this talk about wireless syncing, blah, 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 blah. So if automatic downloads is basically you're walking around and like you don't have to go to the iTunes application to upgrade, you know, get the new version of Foursquare. It just downloads in the background for you and upgrades without you noticing it. And first of all, this could be faked. Apple took the page down like an hour later. So, and there's been lots of talk about wireless syncing coming. And
somebody got fired.
It's very, very cool. I'm very excited. Like, and that's what we've talked about. There's lots of things that, you know, Android is beating iOS on in terms of like, you know,
notification, syncing, background updating,
upgrading, all this
things,
kind of stuff. Yeah. And it feels like they're not just trying to go and reach parity. It feels like they're trying to go and like set a new bar.
Right.
You know, because they've been so quiet about it.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's
and they usually start so quiet. And like it's they've been so quiet it makes you think it's going to be really really big.
Yeah, there's going to be a nice I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. I'm very excited for Monday, you know. And it's Monday cool. For anyone that doesn't know, if you want to listen in to yourself, it's Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific time.
Correct.
Is going to be the keynote address, and there's a billion blogs that will be live blogging.
Yeah, Apple everything. Might. Sometimes they live stream stuff. They haven't announced what they're going to yet. Yeah.
And WWDC might live stream it themselves off their website. I don't know. Nobody knows.
Yeah, it's if not, you know, go to thisismynext.com or engadget.com or, you know, whatever your gadget blog of choice is.
Yeah, they always live blog these things. And, you know, actually, This Is My Next had a nice live blog recently. I can't remember the service that they used. But the third-party service they used was great because it did the auto-updating, but it didn't just sit there so you didn't know if it was updating. Like, there was a little bar with that had, like, a spinning gear. This.
Was it for the Google thing or?
It was for the
Microsoft thing.
It was for that.
It was all things digital.
It was all things D. Yeah. That was it. So it was a great – to me, it was one of my favorite live blogging third-party programs that I've seen.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Very cool. So 10 a.m. and then we will be recapping it. As you said, 8 o'clock, we'll give 8 p.m. our thoughts, PST,
and you know we'll do a little mini show, special edition of Tech Bacon.
Yeah. So real quick, what are your top three predictions of what we'll see?
Top three predictions. I think
other than the obvious, like iCloud.
I think we're going to see Lion. I think
you're good. You're very good.
Wait. Not just Lion. iOS 5.
Oh, interesting.
and wait. Big one. iCloud.
What is this iCloud you speak of?
I think we're gonna see,
and let's bet on this.
Okay,
whoever gets the most right.
Interesting.
So we can't pick obvious ones.
I haven't thought about it enough to bet.
$5. Who cares? $5.
I think Steve Jobs is gonna get naked on stage. And, no.
Okay, let's make a bet. $150.
I think we're going to – I mean, obviously, we're going to see the things that we talked about. I think – I wish I could predict the music service more. I mean, it's going to be – here's my big prediction out of everything. I think – and it's this is kind of a vague prediction.
You got to pick three specific features that you think we'll see from any that haven't been announced yet.
Okay. I think there's going to be some sort of integration feature between iOS 5 and Lion that we don't know about yet. I think there's going to be something to tie those two together.
Oh, duh.
No, not duh. No, I'm not saying that we haven't even heard about or talked about. I think there's going to be something that really integrates the two OSs. I think we're going to see that. I think it hasn't been reported on. We haven't seen anything about it yet. I have a feeling that there's going to be something that is a really strong tie between those two things.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing, I think. I think we're going to see... Here's my big bold prediction. Because all this no devices, all this stuff, I think they're going to announce. It's not going to be available, but I think they're going to announce the next iPhone, at the end of this. I think that's going to be the something more. That's my big bold right here. I could be totally wrong, but I think at the end of this thing, it's going to be like boom, available September.
Interesting.
That's my big.
I feel like they won't do that only because it would kill sales for the next 2 months.
Might.
You know.
But that's, I mean, you know, it's such the time, you know, the timing of school and everything, you know, or maybe, you know, available end of August or something.
Yeah. I think they'll do I think they're going to do what used to be their music event in September, you know, or late August, the back to school event. I think they'll do it then instead.
Yeah.
Because the iPod, there's nothing to update anymore.
Right.
Maybe they'll do a new Nano. But.
They may do a new iPod, you know. Or a new kind of phone. Because with this cloud service, they could do a little mini thing, you know?
Right.
Doesn't need to have a huge hard drive anymore. I think there's going to be a hardware announcement. I have a weird feeling.
I could see them doing an iPhone mini or something like that would be predicated on
the cloud service.
On a cloud service.
Maybe.
I could actually see that. But that's not what you said. You said a new iPhone
proper. I did say
proper.
New iPhone. I did say that.
Okay.
So you're
saying the iPhone 4S or 5, whatever they're going to call it.
Yeah, that's my thing.
Do you want to pick a third one?
I think that's all that's it.
Okay.
That's it.
I think we're going to go and see, and I'm just going to go for specific features, mostly in iOS.
Okay.
And I'm not going to pick notifications because that's obvious. I think we're going to go and see deep Twitter integration. No, okay.
really?
I think we're going to go and see wireless OS updates. I think we're going to go and see wireless syncing. Maybe not all your media.
Oh, wireless through Wi-Fi?
Wi-Fi to your computer syncing.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe not all your media, because maybe that's where iCloud comes in, because that will take a long time over sure. Wi-Fi. But in terms of apps and data, I think we'll see Wi-Fi. I think we'll see wireless Wi-Fi syncing.
You think Bluetooth at all? Or just
no,
Wi-Fi?
Too slow.
Yeah. Okay.
And I also think that we will go and see. I think we'll see that it's not going to be available. iOS 5 will not be available for the 3GS, even though they're selling it right now.
Hmm.
I think it's going to launch in September. Along with
the new iPhone and
the iPhone 4 it'll work for the iPhone 4 as well. And I think they'll announce that now because they know that may kill sales for the iPhone 3GS, but they don't care anymore.
Right.
Because that's what a lot of people know, so there's not a backlash.
Interesting.
Those are my three.
Interesting. Okay. I'm curious to see.
Cool.
And we'll talk about it on Monday.
And the best
I'm
part,
excited.
There's no losers as long as it's cool news.
Exactly.
except for $5.
Right.
Right. We need a shake on this.
All right.
We just shook.
Immortalized. Nobody saw it.
I saw it.
I had my fingers crossed.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
No, I had my... Okay, no.
All right. I think we can do one more kind of
thing. Yeah, well, on the Apple front, this is kind of like, there's not much analysis other than certain people are a-holes, but a company called Lodsys or Lodsys, I'm not sure.
Apple. This is Android. Apple, Android, yeah. Everything. That's a good thing. Yeah,
yeah, basically, about a month ago, a bunch of iOS developers got... That basically got notices from this company called Lodsys. We're just going to call it Lodsys, I guess.
Lodsys.
Or
Lodsys. Right.
Yeah, Lodsys. Basically saying you guys use in-app purchasing in your applications and you're infringing on our patents. And if you don't go and license our technology, we're going to sue you. Now, these weren't like, big developers. These are, one-man shop, two-man shop, indie guys, as most iOS developers are. They're just like, some dudes, or women. Like, there's some developers just making software and selling it. Like, that's like that's one of the great things about iOS. It enables like,
anybody, mom and pop,
working out of your garage.
Totally.
And, trying to go and like license this kind of thing is kind of ridiculous. Getting sued could kill these developers. And for a week, nobody knew what was going to happen. It's like, this is really, really horrible. And like, there's been lots of rancor about the notion of software patents already.
Yeah.
I mean, for the last 20 years, but especially I'd say the last 3 to 5, about maybe how they really aren't valid and doesn't make a lot of sense,
and
how they hinder innovation.
You know, it's also always been a big guy versus the big guy.
Yeah.
In these software patents. It was never some dude in his house against some company.
Yeah. It's like Apple buying, Apple having one and suing Nokia or vice versa.
Exactly.
And everybody cross-licensing everything so everybody's happy.
Right. Right. Everybody taking a piece of the pie.
Exactly. And the argument about why software patents can, hamper innovation, it's almost like it's not like you have like a physical process that you've made or you're doing a drug where it's like something specific. It's like a lot of times it's like basic functionality, like, okay, you can do in-app purchases. That's not code specific. That's just like, just a function.
That's concept.
Yeah. It's not, it's not, there's nothing
like
specific
I'm walking
there to
down
do.
The street.
it's like you can't patent walking. It's right. Like basic concepts that anybody would arrive at just by kind of following through.
The nature of the beast.
Yeah. So that's kind of the argument against it. And basically when you have, small developers who can't use these, things because they can't afford license fees, then that basically means they're not going to utilize that stuff. And it stifles, the craft and the progress and the whole market.
And Apple did an awesome thing.
Yeah, it took them a week. It took a while. People were freaking out.
Nobody knew. And I think Apple was kind of probably looking through their legal stuff and trying to figure out the correct response. I don't think they were hiding or anything. I think they really were trying to figure out what was the proper and correct thing.
Yeah, and they're usually good about this. I mean, because they don't say anything in the meantime, we talked about this with the Amazon thing. It's people kind of go like, you guys need to say something, but they kind of keep their mouth shut until they've analyzed anything. And they come out and they say, no, this.
And they put the hammer down.
Yeah.
They put the hammer down on these Lodsys guys.
Yeah, they basically said like, we have your, we've licensed your patent from you, like, our developers, basically.
And that covers, and because you have to develop with our development platform.
Correct.
This covers every iOS app developer.
Exactly. And they didn't go as far as saying, they didn't change the developer guidelines to say they're going to indemnify everybody. But they basically said a lot, it's just
inherently
like,
it is.
Yeah, they basically said, a lot, it's just, you guys really can't, our guys are covered, so sorry, And maybe this was the whole thing, is it just a move to go and like, negotiate again with Apple? I don't know. But either way, everybody's like, yay, that was, really great.
It was great.
And then earlier this week, Lodsys went ahead and filed suit against, all these developers and Android developers as well.
Yeah. And they included Android in this.
And so I don't
know.
Here's
what it is.
It's really
these guys, it's slimy. It's just like any other slimy lawsuit. It's one of those things where you throw a billion things at the wall and to make you go away, some people give you money. And that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. Well, these guys don't lose.
It's really, really...
Unfortunately.
It's nefarious. There's the problem.
It's totally
nefarious. It's really, really horrible. And I don't know what happens. I guess at a certain point, Apple and Google will both have to go and, you know, outright say we indemnify our guys. And you know what? Because Apple going up against Lotsis, they'll just go and settle. You know, I mean, that's ultimately, I think, what Lotsis wants.
That's what they want. That's what they know that they can't fight this, but nobody else wants to fight it.
Yeah. And all this stuff, Scott just broke his hand.
Oh, boy, that hurt.
All this stuff, all these things are basically fundamental to the success and continued success of these relative platforms. If you can't go and do in-app purchases, or if you can't go and use functionality X, you know, the platform dies.
It's like somebody trying to, it's like somebody trying to have a patent for talking on the phone.
But it's,
like, you put your hand up to your ear, and we own the patent to that.
It's ridiculous. Really? And what's hard about it is that obviously Apple's going to have to settle, and obviously Google will have to go and do
the same
thing.
They're going to all have to settle. Yeah. And what's going to happen is they're going to settle. There's going to be they're not going to be able to talk about it, and it's going to slide
away. But here's what sucks. It sets a precedent. It's going to set another precedent, and this kind of thing is going to continue to happen. And I don't know. I wish that there would be some sort of, like, you know, cohesive movement where you could get all the big technology companies to get together and say, not necessarily like –
some sort of consortium against this kind of thing.
Right. But the
problem
problem is too, they also use, you know, they also use patents to go and further their own claims. Like, you know, when Apple thinks Samsung's ripping them off, you know, which I think you could argue very clearly that they are, they're going to go after them for software patents as well. So it kind of like,
correct.
They're not going to go and take the, you know, the arrows out of their own quiver at the same time. So it's this, it just sucks because there's no way it works, you know, it's in their interest and against their interest. And like just out of moral, you know, instead of, you know, the moral stance, I would like them to go and decide to go after these guys and just kind of change the
law.
That'd
be nice.
But it's not going to happen. It's in their interest to have that system still there.
Correct.
And that's what sucks.
It's totally self-serving.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it blows.
So I just hope that, like, however this resolves, they just go and take action quick and they put, you know, as good a face of it on. Because the developers,
I think that's what's going to happen.
They need to be taken care of. And I think those are the people that are driving the success of iOS. They're driving the success of Android. And I think they need to be openly supported. And that's the only stance I have in terms of what Apple and Google should do.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, curious. We'll keep you guys posted when we hear more stuff about that.
Yeah. And by the way, their name sucks too. Lotsis.
Like,
your name just sucks.
It sucks.
Just make it Patensis or just, you know, Patendix or something. I'm going to have to edit that.
Before we move on to food,
yeah.
I'm just going to quickly say one thing. Sony got hacked again.
Oh.
We don't have to talk about it, but oh my God.
Yeah, check Gizmodo. I think they have a database
where
you can check
if
your emails
again.
In there. Like, and like millions and millions and millions of people. And this was like Sony Pictures or something?
Well,
that was
Sony Pictures last week, and then Sony Entertainment. I mean, it's just like, these guys are getting hammered.
Just sell all your Sony gear. Sell it. Hammered. Sell it now. Sell it quick. Sell it. Burn it.
But if Sony wanted to give us free gear, that's fine.
Well, that's only one thing. Sony has a welcome back program related to the PlayStation Network.
Oh, yeah, they do. That
is now started. So if you have a PS3 and you remember the PlayStation Network.
We'll give them a little props for this.
Yeah, go there. There are a bunch of, like, you can download 2 free games. There's like a selection of 5 or 6.
And also they're giving you the option for a year free identity protection.
They're
offering.
And a month of free service so you can get hacked
more. So you
can
get hacked again.
Yeah. So download the games, cancel the service.
There you go. Boom.
Yeah.
Thank you, bro.
And I'll be doing that after we sign off tonight. But yeah, right. Sony, just stop. Ugh. Just stop. Just stop.
I
just
read
stop
this every day, and it just makes me laugh. I'm almost laughing now.
You know, it's even worse than Rim at this point. Like, I give up.
We haven't talked about Rim in so long.
I know. We
because
have to,
of this.
Exactly. They took the place of hate on TechMaken.
Amazing. Amazing. Oh, all right.
Food.
Yes. So... food, I'm going to talk about a cool service that I've used. It's only available in Los Angeles, New York, and San Fran right now. It's called Blackboard Eats. It's a website. They just launched an iOS app recently, which I haven't tried, but I told Brian about the other day.
I haven't downloaded it yet. I'm sorry, Scott.
So this is basically, this is a discount food website newsletter. And, you know, I would say similar to a Groupon thing, but not really. Only in how you might think about it a little bit. But... basically, what Blackboard Eats is you get a daily, weekly deal about restaurants around town. And usually it's like 30% off. You sign up, they give you a code. And then when you go to the restaurant, you show them your code and you get 30% off the bill. Now, the difference that this is, as opposed to other of these coupon sites and all that stuff, is Blackboard Eats doesn't just take on any restaurant. They actually have to go and review your restaurant in order to offer it. So they're actually like have a high, high quality of service. So it's not just any crap restaurant. You can't just call and say, I want my restaurant to be part of Blackboard Eats.
Right.
If you call them as a restaurant owner and say, I would like to be in, you know, part of Blackboard Eats, they then send people anonymously to go and eat there, review the restaurant, and if it meets the criteria, then they come back and offer a deal.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, that's a nice – it's nice to actually – it's not just anything that hits the wall, and you don't have to sift through it. You know you're going to get good restaurant deals. And in Los Angeles, I've been getting amazing deals at really, really good – high quality restaurants.
Well, it's also nice just because of that, it also makes it somewhat of a restaurant discovery service. Because I've been signed up for a while, and there's, you know, you sign up because there's a restaurant you like that gets certain, and you're like, okay, cool, I'm going to get 30% off, you know, Food Lab. And you're like, cool.
Right.
Food Lab, where they serve pig candy.
That's right.
Brian's, have you tried it yet?
I haven't tried it yet.
Okay. Sorry. But like, so once you sign up for it, then like, you kind of like, okay, if this shows up, I'm not going to try this, you know, random Cuban restaurant. I wouldn't know about it otherwise. And they show up, you're like, oh, that looks interesting. If they have it, you know, there's like a level of quality there.
And you, if you use them before, you know, okay, if they're recommending it,
exactly,
and I've gone to three or four other things, then it's going to make me more likely to. Now, they attempted for about 2 months to start charging people for the service.
Right. And it was like, how much? It was like
cheap.
A couple bucks.
I mean,
or something.
It was like a dollar per deal, which obviously balances out, but I guess it must have not took, because after about 2 months they're like, they sent out an email saying we're not doing that anymore. Which I thought was very telling, that people aren't willing to actually shell out the money for that kind of thing.
Right.
You know, but I can't recommend it, you know, enough. If you're in Los Angeles, New York, San Francisco, I did read that they're just starting to launch in Chicago.
Oh, great.
So those four markets, I think they're going to expand probably to more major cities and stuff. Sign up for it. You have nothing to lose. If you have the iPhone, download the app and, you know, you can check out this really, really cool service and, you know, find out some new restaurants.
Yeah. And it is really nice that it's a lot more focused, because I Groupon and Living Social, it's like
right, you feel overwhelmed, you know, like,
yeah,
this
just,
is almost
so
like a personal
stuff.
Food concierge.
Yeah.
Like, it's like somebody saying, it's like me telling you guys what a good restaurant I went to. You
exactly.
know, that's kind of what it is on a email marketing, you know, site and a newsletter.
Have you ever thought about writing for them?
Blackboard? No.
Yeah.
No, I haven't. Maybe I should get in touch with them.
I think you should.
Maybe a little Tech Bacon Blackboard Eats partnership.
I think you should do that.
I like that idea, Brian.
You're very welcome.
Maybe get some free food.
You can have that one. I'll give you that one for free.
But normally, you know, if you go review for these kind of places and like restaurant chains and stuff do that, you have to bring somebody with you. So, you and me.
Oh, I like
you're
that.
My first choice.
I like that.
Look at that.
Even
first
better.
Choice. First choice.
Number one right here. Number one.
Thank you.
High five.
I'm redeeming myself.
High five.
And on that note.
Thanks for joining us today, everybody.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to be dorking out for the rest of the weekend. I got to tell you, I cannot wait till Monday at 10 a.m. But I've been like that for years with these
and
Apple
we're,
things.
Brian and I are both – this is the first time we're going to do a special episode, and we're both very excited about
it's
that.
Be
so
a lot
I hope
of fun.
You guys will join us.
Yeah, it's going to – once again, 8 o'clock on Monday night, PST.
And we'll do live, and then we'll post it up
I'll probably be up Tuesday morning.
With the in iTunes and everything. And also, just speaking about that, if you're listening to the show, once again, we love getting ratings in iTunes. And please, you know, pass along the podcast to people you know, and also like us on Facebook. You know, we just want to kind of build our community more, and we'd love to hear from you. So if you're listening, you know, feel free to just drop us a line, because we'd love to hear the people out there.
Yeah,
know?
You can get us on Twitter at Tech Bacon, or at BC Bishop, or at Scotty G7, the number 7. Also through Facebook or through the website techbacon.net. We are easily reachable.
We are easily reachable, and we would love to hear from all of you.
Absolutely. So thanks, everybody, for joining. I'm Brian.
I am Scott.
Take care.